A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again.
Hello and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm thankful you tuned in the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in the Gospel of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, Matthew 18, verse number 7. The Lord Jesus has talked about the kingdom. He's been asked by the disciples, the apostles, who's the greatest in the kingdom. The Lord Jesus took a little child, set him in the midst, and told him that they needed to become as a little child, to humble themselves like a little child. He speaks about the offending of little children and the offending of his and the abuse of his own children. And then in verse number 7, he picks up this word here, an instruction about the way it is in this world and in life. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. And so there is the offending, the abusing, the sinning against, the unjustness and the operation of men with men. And I speak that, when I say man, I mean mankind. Women against women, women against men, men against women, men and women against children, and all the things, the combination. There's offenses. There's the doing dirty that people do one to another. That those last 6 commandments of the 10 commandments, they tell us in major points how we are to be one to another, and how we are to be one to another before God, and not sin against our Lord by being an abuse one to another. Woe unto the world because of offenses. It must needs be that offenses come. They will come. It's just going to be the way that it is. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. There's a great woe to those that are the offending, the ones that are the sinners. Wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed than having 2 hands or 2 feet to be cast into everlasting fire. So here the Lord Jesus speaks about hell in the sense of that one of 2 places, in that place of departed spirits. See, we are made body, soul, and spirit in this life and here upon the earth. And when it comes time for this body to die, the soul goes back, as it says in Ecclesiastes, the soul goes back to God who gave it. And for the unsaved sinner, their spirit is dead. And so there the soul is sent to hell. And that's what Jesus is speaking about here, is not the place of departed spirits, but that one of 2 places in that realm, the other side. That's the way that I like to refer to it. There is this side where body, soul, and spirit, even men having their spirit dead, are here together. The trichotomy is together. But then when the body dies, the soul goes over of the unsaved person. They go over there to the other side, and on the other side, their destination, without being saved, without having Christ as their Savior, they go to hell, the place of burning, the place of everlasting fire that Jesus declares here. He says, if your hand or your foot offend you. So now he's talking about offenses. He's talking about woe to the man that if the offense comes by. And then he says, if your own hand or your own foot offends you, cut it off. It's better for you to go into, it says here to enter into life. He says there is an eternity. There is a living for souls. It's promoted and told today, and many religions have done so over antiquity. They have told that there is another, that there is another life. Some say that there is another life by coming back here. That's wrong. That there is a thinking in their thinking of a heaven. But the thing is all of those things, all those references seem to be pleasures, that men would desire here. There is a heaven, but it is according to glory, the glory and the righteousness of the Lord. There are others that say that when people die, that's it. They're like a dog. They're like an animal, and they're dead, and that's it, and there is no more. And that's not true. It's true for the animals, but it's not true for mankind. And that's one of the lies of evolution that drags us. Evolution, the evolutionists want to drag us into being an animal. They want us to be like the beast of the field, and therefore seduce men into thinking that this life is it. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. With no consideration of eternity, no consideration of the life to come. There is a life to come, and it is unlike this life in every respect. So there is that place of departed spirits. There is that place of glory and rest in heaven with the Lord. That's where his children are, those who are saved. There is that place of burning and torment, hell, for the unsaved, the unrepentant, the unbelieving, where they go. And the Lord says here, if your hand or your foot offends you, it's better for you to cut them off than to enter into eternity, and go in with your feet and your hands into everlasting fire. Now, is the Lord here preaching that we should mutilate ourselves, cut off our hands and our feet literally, our feet literally? No, he's not teaching mutilation of the body. The Lord makes it very clear, especially in the Old Testament, he makes it very clear that there's to be no mutilating of the body. And we have a scourge of such today, piercings and tattoos. And understand, people that have piercings and tattoos, they need to be saved. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to be saved just like everybody else needs to be saved. The person that follows after the ways of the world, and in this case we're talking about piercing, tattoos, and cutting of the body and such as that, they need to be saved just as much as the quote-unquote upright religious person, because religion won't save. And these things of tattooing and of piercings and of cutting of the body and such as that, it's understood, it's very plain that these are actions of the heathen, those that are against God and do not believe in God and worship other gods and worship devils and such as that. That's where those things come from. That's where they come from. And so the Lord says here that the point is to understand that sin is so bad. Sin against God, transgression against God is so bad. Disobeying God is so bad that if you could avoid disobeying by cutting off your hand with which you would steal, for example, or cutting off your foot by which you would go and go to a place that you should not go to sin, and you would wherein you would sin against the Lord. It would be better for you to cut off your hand and your foot and to not be involved with such transgression against the Lord than to do so and for that sin be cast into hell. So again, the Lord is not speaking here of manipulation of the body, because here's what's at hand. If we would cut off the hand, what is left? Well, there's the other hand. And if we would cut off both hands and both feet, what would be left? Well, there's still the wicked mind. There's still the wicked mind that is at hand. And so he's not here speaking about how folks should mutilate their bodies, but he's telling about the extreme the extreme position of staying away from sin, because sin is that which condemns sinners to hell. We need a Savior. We need a Redeemer. And he said, this is how important it is not to sin. But the bad news is all of us have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so it's just another way. It's maybe a little bit different for us to understand in our culture. But that's what the Lord is conveying here about sin and about the destination of sinners, unrepentant, unbelieving, unsaved, is that if sin is terrible and bad and it will cause you to go to hell, you need to stay away from it. And he gives this to give us understanding that we need more than what we have in our own selves. He says in verse 9, if thine eye offend thee, so now he's talking about the sight, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. And so the Lord Jesus is preaching about hell, and he says, even if your sight is an offense, is causes you to sin against God, pluck it out. Now, is the Lord wanting people to pluck out their eyes? No, because, see, understand, if we pluck out one eye, what do we have left? We have the other eye. And then if we pluck out both eyes, what do we have? Well, we still have the mind that is fraught with a history and past of sin and the ability, the factory of sin, the enticing of self from the things that were fed into the world and just the depravity that dwells within a person. So the Lord is not teaching mutilation of the body, but he's making a great point. If the cutting off of your hand, if the cutting off of your foot, if the plucking out of your eyes could keep you from sinning against God, you'd do well to go there and do it. Because hell and the fire of hell is a terrible place to go into. And you need to do all you can to avoid going there, which... What can we do? Well, even the cutting off of hands, the cutting off of feet, and the plucking out of eyes is not enough. We need a Savior. And that's the point of this, is that the Lord is giving us just another a direction of thinking that we might see our great need of something and someone outside of ourselves to save our souls, forgive us of our sins, and grant and guarantee unto us everlasting life and peace with God. And so so that's the message that are in these passages. Difficult to understand, but I think we can understand them by the power and the Spirit of the Lord. If you're here and you're not saved, we point you to Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. There's no way, there's no truth, there's no life in yourself. No way, no truth, no life in the religion of the world. You need Jesus, and we point you to him. Repent of your sins, as the Lord Jesus has declared and commanded, and believe and trust in him and his gospel, his death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of your soul. I see that our time is up for now. May the Lord bless you with his good word and truth of his gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.